This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Foundations, a weekly program brought to you by the Reformed Church of Christchurch.
Hello, I'm Esther Smith. There have been great examples of mercy and forgiveness throughout the history of humanity. But who gives the ultimate example of mercy? Today we'll be looking at a psalm written by the biblical King David, and in it he praises God for his mercy. First though, let's listen to Psalm 103 as put to music by Sons of Korah.
You're listening to Foundations on Plains FM 96.9.
Here's Abel now with Psalm 103 and more on God's mercy.
It's late at night. A 45-year-old mother is about to retire for the night. Just as she turns on the bedroom light, she's startled by a knock on the door. A young, blonde-haired policeman stands at the door, his cap cradled against his chest. The woman is surprised to say the least. But her surprise gives way to immense shock and grief when the policeman announces the tragic death of the woman's 18-year-old daughter. Apparently a car jumped the footpath and knocked her daughter down as she was walking with a group of friends. The driver was drunk. A few weeks later, the family asked the mother if she was willing to meet her daughter's killer and take the matter to the courts. A lawsuit against the driver seemed the most logical thing to do, in order to obtain some compensation for the trauma caused. The mother explained that she had already spoken to the driver, that everything has been settled. "What do you mean?" the family asked. "I've forgiven him for what he has done," was the mother's calm reply. You could have heard a pin drop. Stories like this are not common, but do exist. In the Bible, a man named Stephen was executed wrongfully. His accusers stoned him to death. His last words before he died were, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." In other words, "Lord, forgive these men for killing me." Amazing, but true. In these extreme stories, people were able to forgive others for horrendous wrongdoings committed against them. And yet there is an even more amazing story that we need to know. It is called God's Love for Sinners. Yes, sinners. That's you and me. People who do wrong things every day against others and ultimately against God. Have you heard of King David? He was a well-known biblical king who served God his whole life, so much so that God called him a man after his own heart. And yet, David was just as sinful as you and I. He committed many sins every day. The Bible relates a number of horrendous sins that David committed. He committed adultery with another man's wife and arranged that her husband would die in battle so that she could become his wife. Yes, David knew what sin was. And he agonized over his sin when he realized how wrong he had been. But in Psalm 103, we read of David's exuberant expression of joy in God's love and forgiveness of sin. He starts off with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Your soul is your deepest part of your being. And David wants to praise God from the core of who he is. Why should he do this? Why should anybody praise God? Before we go into this any further, I'll read you the whole of Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. For he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. David tells us why God's people should praise their God. God forgives all their sins, heals all their diseases, redeems their life from destruction, satisfies them with all good things, and renews their strength like that of a soaring eagle. In other words, God makes your life have meaning and future again. He saves you from the ocean of sin and guilt that engulf you and threaten to pull you under. He also looks after you so that already in this life, you feel strengthened and encouraged. As if this is not enough to make us feel uplifted, David continues to remind us of some of the amazing attributes of God. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Despite all the sins that God's children daily commit against him, God is still pleased to be patient with them. In fact, he takes their sin away so that he doesn't see them anymore. This is very, very important, because sin is the barrier that stands between God and us. This barrier prevents any form of communion or relationship between God and his people. In the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, we read about the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. They were ashamed to appear before God after they had sinned, And God, in turn, sent them out of the paradise, the Garden of Eden, he had made for them. Sin had entered the world, causing an invisible barrier to be erected between God and his created people. From now on, the minds and hearts of people became desperately evil. It became so bad that God destroyed all living things in a worldwide flood, except for Noah and his family and pairs of animals in the ark. He made a covenant, or solemn agreement, with Noah and his descendants. These descendants became the nation of Israel. God promised them the land of Canaan and provided for them in so many ways. We read this in our psalm too. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Did the people of Israel deserve God's favour? Absolutely not. Time and again we read of their bitter rebellion and unthankfulness to their God. They often ignored the God who cared so well for them and who saved them from the clutches of their enemies. In fact, they sometimes put their trust in dumb idols from other nations. How they must have angered their God. They deserve to be punished and eradicated. And yet, God did not deal out to them the punishment they ultimately deserved. He showed patience and mercy so that he might preserve his chosen people, the ones he loved. David, in our psalm, illustrates the mercy of God in a beautiful way. He says that God's mercy is as great as the distance between the heavens and the earth. In the sins of his people, he removes as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Well, it stretches to infinity, doesn't it? That's how far God removes our sins from us. Is this God of David your God? Can you say with David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name."
That was Abel Landers reading edited material written by members of the Reformed Church of Masterton. Continue considering God's mercy using Psalm 103 next week, and we hope you'll join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. or 10:30 p.m. On behalf of the Foundation's team, goodbye.
You can contact the Foundation's team by sending an email to foundationsonplains@gmail.com. Join us for worship on Sunday at the Reformed Church of Christchurch. Our services are at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. at 63 Cornwall Street.